We are the Borg. Existence as you know it is now over. Lower your shields and prepare to receive the transmission of Treknologic. You will listen as the crew of the USS Relativity reviews episodes of Star Trek for your entertainment. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile.
Hey everyone, you are listening to Treknologic, where we review Star Trek episodes and enjoy Trek trivia aboard the Federation timeship USS Relativity. This is Treknologic number 178 for Stardate 2015.249. Today, we'll be reviewing the Deep Space Nine episode, The Dogs of War.
So, what are you going to do with the bar?
This is no way to start a relationship.
So, what are you going to do with the bar?
That's what happens when you miss staff meetings.
Never too early to suck up to the boss.
Chemistry isn't everything.
They say even the waste extraction fixtures are plated with lathium.
So, what are you going to do with the bar?
I hate the carpet.
Of the population no longer believes that you have to buy your way into the divine treasury when you die. They don't teach children the rules of acquisition anymore. This disease spreading through Ferengi society. It's making us soft.
Captain, I have a question.
Yes, Ben.
Has there always been so many Ferengi on this ship? My records say that there should be only a couple, and I don't think that the halls are supposed to be lined with latinum and jeweled trinkets and silk banners.
Oh, I got this. A lot of them have brought their family in before this mission. They may have gotten the idea that the Grand Nagus was going to be stopping here before the mission, so I've graciously allowed them to decorate.
I didn't see any paperwork come across my desk about any temporal visitors.
Oh, don't get me wrong. He's not coming. But these people barely know the Grand Nagus from Deep Space Nine's time. They'll never know if it was the real Grand Nagus or a photonic being that just looked...
No.
What, Mike?
I am not altering myself to look like the Grand Nagus to collect latinum from the hallways for you.
But
not it.
Okay. They'll never know if it was the real Grand Nagus or a red shirt surgically altered to look like the Grand Nagus, who, after collecting all of my latinum and saying goodbye to the Ferengi, tragically explodes when the red button is pushed.
But we're supposed to push the red button now so that we can start the mission. You don't have time.
Crewman Jacobson, report to Shuttle Bay 2. You have an important away mission. Well, there we go. Jacobson has been sent back in time to be surgically altered and should be giving a greedful goodbye to the Ferengi crew members as we speak. Just a few more seconds for him to arrive back in present time, and let's get this mission started.
Did you get the latinum from him before you exploded him?
I'm sure he'll have another shirt clean it up.
Yeah, it's just embedded in the latinum walls now.
Isn't that where we started?
This is the one where there's just a whole lot of weird stuff going on with lots of Ferengi.
There are a lot of Ferengi. The story was by Peter Allen Fields, and it was directed by Avery Brooks. This originally aired on May 26th, 1999, and Geos ranks this episode 37th out of 175 episodes.
Originally, they actually were going to make Quark Grand Nagus, but Ira Stevens Bear basically explained that they decided it was wrong because Quark has to be in the bar when the series ends. For DS9, Quark has to be in the bar. So then they decided it was going to be Rom. And then, you know, they couldn't just make Rom Nagus, so that's why they ended up with the more convoluted plot of Quark thinking that he was, because it couldn't just be that easy for Rom to be Grand Nagus.
Well, we can discuss how I feel about that when we get to that point.
I'm excited for this. I mean, I am looking forward to this.
And then Quark's speech about Ferengi values obviously is an imitation of Picard's speech in First Contact. this far and no further.
Oh, wow, nice. I did not know that.
This bar and no further.
And then when he claims that he's the last great Ferengi, it actually is sort of meant to play off of Dukat claiming that he's the last great Cardassian. This is actually the only episode of Star Trek to show the Breen logo.
They have a logo?
Is it a Quilly Spring?
Is it a strange blocky looking pyramid?
It's the thing that has like the long diamond in the middle and then the crescent with the horns up and the crescent with the horns down and then like a stone in the middle.
That sounds very complicated.
It's kind of ugly.
Someone should tell them about the simplicity of logos.
It's kind of like Crawl.
Kind of.
No wonder no one likes them.
Yep.
They have a bad logo.
On Deep Space Nine, Ezri and Bashir are still not dating. Instead, they are discussing Odo's progress. O'Brien and Worf sum up what they're thinking about Bashri, or is it Ezshir?
I hate that.
I don't get it. He's interested, she's interested. What's the problem?
He is an overgrown child, and she is very confused.
It could still work.
I think Worf needs to have a news channel, entertainment news channel. He just sets
world according to Worf.
Yeah.
He is an overgrown child.
I think you could say that about a lot of stars.
Yeah.
There's an arrival at Deep Space Nine. It's a new Defiant class ship, a replacement for the one that got destroyed. We see the registry and find out that it's the Sao Paulo, which I probably mispronounced.
No, I think that's right. No,
and
that's
it's right. Chief of Staff is Gene Roddenberry.
What?
Oh yeah, really? if you look at the little, like, they show you the plate on it.
The little plate? Awesome.
Yeah.
The first two names on the list are Rick Berman and Michael Piller. Anyway, cool. Admiral Ross is aboard and presents the ship to Captain Sisko. Then he finds out that there's something else.
By the way, there's something else on that pad that might interest you.
Special dispensation from the Chief of Starfleet Operations to change the name from Sao Paulo to Defiant.
Lame.
Why is that?
Oh,
lame?
Come on. It's so sweet. They get another Defiance.
Yeah.
I mean, why could it just stay Sao Paulo?
Because Defiance is what they are against the Dominion. Sao Paulo sounds like they're going on vacation.
Because if they kept it the Sao Paulo, then it would be a new Ezri, and we didn't need that. We just needed the Defiant back.
I just don't know. Why is it Sao Paulo? Anyway, why is it named after a city as opposed to some other adjective?
They have the Rio Grande.
Well, no, the runabouts are named after rivers.
Right. There's always themes to ships, right? So
right.
It's a...
Yeah. There's a naming convention for each class.
And it's a Defiant class, right? The Defiant was the first one.
Well, but the first ship doesn't necessarily give the naming convention for the whole line.
In X-01 Enterprise?
They're not all named verbs or adjectives or anything like that.
Well, they could have just named it Defiant in Portuguese.
Yeah.
No, because it's St. Paul. Sao Paulo is St. Paul.
So?
That's what it means.
Then we'd have to.
I'm not saying what it means. I'm saying what language it's in.
Wait, was St. Paul Defiant?
Yeah.
Possibly.
That's kind of a runaround, but.
Yeah, that's a long way to get there.
Hey, we'll take it.
Or maybe it was just named sent from St. Paul, Minnesota.
And they wanted to be fancy?
Yeah. Now I'm offending all of our Brazilians.
Yeah, now you're just offending everybody.
Well, that's usual.
Yep.
Well, whatever you call it, it's new and improved.
Actually, the Sao Paulo is, in fact, odd because of the three we know, there is the Defiant, the Sao Paulo, and the Valiant. So the Sao Paulo
is poorly named.
They would need to give a reason for why it's named the Sao Paulo.
Yeah, somebody failed their SAT test here. What doesn't fit, you know, out of these three words?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right, so, well... maybe that's why they said, you know what? You need to rename this one.
Yeah.
somebody put in an odd requisition in there. Snuck this one in.
Somehow the guy that made the plaques got to pick the name.
Right. Well, you know what? It could be, again, this is totally just headcanon, but it could be that they
head
named
cannon.
It the Sao Paulo. That's like, it's canon, but only in my own head. never heard that before.
No, I like it though.
Yep.
But maybe they were going to use a different convention because the Sao Paulo is actually the first ship off the line once the Defiant was, you know, cleared. So maybe they were going to use another convention when they renamed it the Defiant. Then they just used that, and that's why the next one is the Valiant.
Oh, maybe it's because they got into the Dominion War. So after they did the first one and they got into the war, they had to have, like, real battle names.
Could be.
My favorite is that we've spent 5 minutes on the name of the ship.
Yeah.
All right, well, whatever it's called, it is new and improved because it has the shield generators reconfigured to prevent against Kubert's tribe.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Garrick, Damar, Kira, and some other rebels are returning to the secret cave base after they stole the ship.
Cardassia, it's as beautiful as I remember.
It won't be beautiful to my eyes until the Dominion is gone.
Actually, I don't think they were returning to the cave base. I think they were going to another secret cave.
Yes, they were going to have some meet.
I mistyped that. Sorry.
They were going to meet with rebels on Cardassia.
Yes.
In the Cardassian caves.
At a different cave.
Yes, different caves.
All the caves start to look alike after a while.
I can understand that.
Carrie, please make sure that in the future all notes are from the current timeline and not alternates.
Upon beaming down to the secret cave meeting location, it's apparent there is an ambush, which Ben hates.
Ben hates cave ambushes?
No, just ambushes in general.
Oh.
I told you I could lure them here for you. Gomervok. He betrayed us.
Kira Sisko, get us out of here.
I don't think they're up there anymore.
We gotta get out of here.
No.
Damar, do you know any place we can go?
Everyone I know on Cardassia has either been arrested or killed.
I think I know someone who might take us in. That is, if we can get to the capital.
We can't stay here.
If you don't mind hiding in a basement, then I guess I don't mind having you down here. I don't hear from you for years. And then you show up on my doorstep with these people.
I do apologize for the intrusion, but you're the only person on Cardassia I could trust.
Well, don't blame me if you don't have any friends left. Oh, now, where's that light switch?
It's smaller than I remember. I grew up in this house. Did I mention that?
I thought you said Inabrin Tain used to live here.
Tain was Garrick's father.
He was unable to acknowledge it publicly because he was head of the Obsidian Order. Mila was our housekeeper and most trusted confidant.
I was never much of a cook, but I knew how to keep a secret.
We have to contact the other resistance cells and warn them about Revok. Is there any way you can get us a comm unit?
If it's not too much of an imposition.
You shouldn't be involved in this.
We're attempting to free our people. Do you want to live under the Dominion for the rest of your life?
I'm an old woman. I'm long past caring about such things. But I'll get you your comm unit.
Mila, thank you. I promise we won't stay long.
Well, you might as well make yourselves useful. This place hasn't been cleaned in years.
You heard the lady.
The glamour of being a revolutionary. Hmm?
I actually really like Mila.
Yeah.
She's like, fine, clean, I'll get you what you need.
The little old Cardassian grandma.
Yes. And when she says, don't blame me if you don't have any friends left on Cardassia, my brain automatically tacks onto the end of that, I'm not the one who killed them.
Right.
Nice. I just but, like you know, that this kind of general personality is cross species.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sarcasm exists everywhere.
Yeah.
It's ubiquitous through the universe.
Yep. And then when he's like, you know, do you want to live forever under the Dominion rule? And her comeback's like, I got like 5 minutes. I'm not worried about it.
One thing that I thought was kind of odd and convenient, oddly convenient, is that the beam-in point for this secret rebel cave is on a ledge way up in the middle of nowhere where you can't get down.
hidden. Yes.
Do they just beam in there and then someone has to bring a ladder? Is that how it works?
That's how they protect themselves from, you know, well, trespassers. Except for the people that got in there.
It is possible that Kira actually did that, because remember, she was like, are you sure we can trust them? Is this worth it? I you know, I'm not sure if this is something we should be doing. So that may have been a compromise between her and his name went right out of my head.
Damar,
yes.
That you know, makes sense.
So just paranoid.
Yeah.
Just a quick one-line fix.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, Bashir clears Odo for duty and decides to tell him how he contracted the virus in the first place.
You were deliberately infected.
By whom?
Section 31. They used you as a carrier, hoping you would pass on the disease to the founders. I'm sure you were never meant to develop symptoms.
But I don't care whether they meant to kill me or not. The reality is, the Federation set out to destroy my people.
I'm going to go on to the next one just because it connects here.
Yeah.
Odo's next stop is to see Sisko, who lets him know the Federation isn't going to be giving the cure to the Founders because they started the war. He then makes Odo promise not to do anything about it himself either. Odo, however, does get in a jab.
Interesting, isn't it? The Federation claims to abhor Section 31's tactics, but when they need the dirty work done, they look the other way. It's a tidy little arrangement, wouldn't you say?
You know, and this is not the first time this is something that's come from the Federation. Like when they had the algorithm to wipe out the Borg, and they got mad when they didn't give it to Hugh.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the Federation kind of has a history of wanting to commit genocide.
Well, the Federation has, you know, this history of exactly doing what Odo said, letting Section 31 be the bad guys, but then not doing anything to fix it.
Yeah, in this case, it's the Federation allowing genocide.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, in the Borg case, it was them, the Federation, not Section 31, that was committing genocide.
Right,
right.
But, you know, I think they're, I mean, to go back to that episode, you know, are the Borg just machines?
Right.
They don't have individual consciousnesses, right? Yep. Supposedly, at that time, they didn't know as much about them.
Yeah. Right.
And they were a dire threat.
But I think even in that episode, because he talked to them about Hugh and told them about Hugh, and they basically said, we don't care. This is a war we're not going to win. Kill them.
Yeah. Right.
Although we haven't reviewed that episode.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it's kind of like the Borg for them was kind of like, and to go back to Babylon 5, which he seemed to be doing, it's kind of like the shadows, right?
Yes. Right.
You know, you got this war that you're not going to win, and then you find you have this one trump card.
Yeah.
Right.
They were going to use it. So, yeah, the Federation is not the perfect child for morality.
And I feel really bad for Odo because now he's found out that he was infected on purpose.
Right.
He is the one that is patient zero, has infected all of the other founders who started this war.
Right.
And he now is going to be the last one of his kind, which is what he initially thought he was too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So now he's had to live with the fact that he always in the past felt he was the only one.
But now he might be that because of himself.
Now it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep. And so, I mean, it's really a terrible situation, and I feel so bad for him because you can't help but like Odo, and he's found they might not agree with their policies on, you know, dominating the universe.
Yeah, if only all the rest of his people weren't jerks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because in many cases, I can't say that this is the case all the time, but in I think most of the cases, Odo, I believe, does have the higher moral values.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to say for me in this, I actually, in their positions, I would probably make the same decisions the founders made. They you know, were subjected to all this persecution, but they knew that they could get the power and take it from the people who were hurting them, and they did. You know, in that situation, I don't know that I would not do that, even though I would feel bad about it. I would probably do the similar thing to save my people. And when it comes to the Federation, again, I understand where they're coming from, and as much as I morally hate the thought of it, I would probably make the same decision the Federation made. You know, we can't give it to them. It's the only thing we've got.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's Except at this point, isn't the wormhole closed?
And the Dominion's still winning because they have better shipbuilding and they have Jem'Hadar that they're cloning.
No, the Dominion's not winning. Isn't this the episode where they pull back?
They pull back because they don't know how to deal with the new weapons. But right. Technically, at this point, they haven't pulled back. The Federation is still losing by the at the point they have this conversation.
Yes, that's true.
I think like in 3 seconds,
right?
It really changes.
Yeah, just about 5 minutes from now.
Well, except they've adapted all the ships now to
be able to fight the Breen.
Yes, so I mean that was why they were on such a losing streak is because the Breen had this weapon that.
Right.
Wipe them out.
Only Klingon ships could fight. But even with that coming out, you still don't know really what's going to happen. Like the Dominion's pulling back just because they're like, okay, we need to take a second and evaluate. It really does. All it does is it breaks their momentum, but it doesn't change the fact that really they're still the dominant power in this war. They've just now suddenly lost the momentum because they're like, oh, we got to take a step back.
Well, I mean. This just points out that this is one of the strengths of Deep Space Nine, and the other shows deal with it too. But I think Deep Space Nine deals with the most is this moral gray space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's to me is always a fascinating space to explore.
That's in the Romulan neutral zone, right? Moral gray space.
No, moral gray space.
I thought that was in the time trap.
In the time trap.
Temporal gray space.
Oh, no, that's purple space. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Oh, my.
All right.
Says, I have to ask you not to do anything.
Right.
I hate that I have to ask you.
Yeah. But he still asks him.
You know, nothing ever good comes after but in a serious sentence.
Yes.
You know, like, I hate to have to ask you, but I'm not racist, but there's never any good. If you feel the need to put that in the middle of a serious sentence, just stop. Change it into a period.
Yeah.
In Quark's bar, Rom has encouraged the Dabo girls to ask for more of their tips. Quark is distracted and becomes more so when the Grand Negus calls from the homeworld.
I'll be coming to Deep Space Nine to name my successor. I've chosen you to succeed me. You're going to be the new Grand Negus. Congratulations.
There was nothing wrong with your podcast listening. It really sounded like that.
Yes. Because it was raining on the Ferengi homeworld. Surprise.
No. It's a different type of rain.
Yes. Even though they have like 700 words for rain.
Well, this was like toxic radioactive rain.
Yeah, this is toxic radioactive thing because one of the contractors used like some shoddy materials. And right. So it's an electrical storm.
I have an issue with this scene, but we can't come back to it until later.
Until later. Yeah, I know.
The issue with it is them coming in and saying the Grand Negus is on the phone for you. I'm sure he probably asked for someone.
My assumption on that, actually, because I did think about it because of my other issue, is that a call is coming in for the Grand Negus. From. Their assumption is, obviously, it's for Quark.
Right. Because why would he call Rom?
Or any other Ferengi?
Why would he call somebody else?
Or not.
It obviously is for Quark, because why would he call anybody else?
Yeah. I don't buy that.
I do.
Because Quark is not, like, in charge of the Ferengi on that DS9. He just runs a bar.
No, he runs the only... He's in charge. He's runs the only Ferengi business. They all work for him, yep. Except for the people who we see occasionally coming in to sell him stuff.
He's not, in charge. What I'm they saying all work is, him. He's not a governmental representative for all of the Ferengi on DS9. He's
neither is anyone owner. Else.
He is, in fact, that is, in fact, a government representative for Ferengi.
Well, and
neither
also
is anyone else. He has the most venture capital of himself, and that's why they would come talk to him because
he's the richest Ferengi on the station. Yep. He runs the Ferengi,
and also don't forget that Moogie is his mother as well as Rom's mother.
Right, but Moogie didn't call. If Moogie called, I could see them assuming it was for him.
No, if Moogie called, he would have assumed that it was for Rom. It was
for Rom,
right?
Yeah, Quark won't talk to Moogie.
But what you're saying is that the Grand Negus called and just said, "This is the Grand Negus." And didn't say who he was calling for.
No, I think the Grand Negus called and they couldn't figure out what was going on because the static was so bad. And so they just assumed it was for Quark.
Yeah.
And let Quark do
it. And it's probably impolite to say, hey, could you repeat yourself? So they didn't.
Anyway, Ezri and Bashir are about to reach a milestone in their relationship.
The starting point.
It's awkward around you.
I've been trying to tell you, but every time I just couldn't get the word.
I know. What is that?
I don't.
I mean, I'm not usually like this. If I find somebody attractive, I just. And I don't play these ridiculous games.
Neither do I.
Oh. You guys promised me that Bashir was going to be cool at the end.
I thought that was fine.
He was cooler until that point. It's a writer problem.
Okay, just keep stumbling over your statements of how Bashir is cool here.
No. I think at the beginning of the relationship, I think there's always this weird part is like, when do I say something about it? And I think that's because you're worried about it being awkward and possibly going downhill.
Right. So,
it's already reached that point.
Yeah. You mean the awkward statement that should have happened like 8 episodes ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had the whole Worf thing.
The whole Worf thing.
They just needed a checkbox. Do you like me? Yes or no?
That's right.
I think what you're seeing here is that Bashir is actually there to say, I really have feelings for you. But he's taking his cues from her because she's the one who says, you know, I don't want to wreck our relationship. So he's like, okay, fair enough. I'll step back.
That's afterwards. That's after this.
Yeah, they've both been really awkward around each other.
Well, neither do I. What?
Yeah.
Was that a conversation? Did you guys just talk?
It was code.
I have to agree with Chris. I totally went through that conversation with Dave.
There you go.
It was really awkward.
Was it after you guys had known each other for 7 years that you finally said that? Or however long Ezri has been here?
Several months.
Yeah.
We had been seeing each other regularly.
Okay, they haven't even dated. Not once.
Well, I mean, come on. It was a little bit awkward. She was captured and held prisoner with the Breen for a while.
No, yeah, and the whole thing is awkward.
And he's Bashir.
Okay, yes, that is a big issue.
I can only make so much comparison because Dave's not a Trill. Who lived in the body of somebody that I knew.
What I'm saying is that any comparison that you're making is going to be either at the very moment when you're going to ask them on a first date and you're nervous, or after you've been on several dates and you want the relationship to be more.
No, because we hadn't been on dates. We had actually just been meeting up outside the bar or at the bar or at restaurants where we just would like run into each other for the longest time. And when I first wanted to talk to him about it, it was really awkward because I'm like, well, I think this is more serious than just you and I hanging out together at the bar. It was really awkward. And actually it ended up being that we just went to his house to meet his family. And apparently we're dating.
Which is also kind of awkward.
Yes.
Right. So I'm like, apparently we're dating now. So it was really for our first discussion of, you know, is this a date thing? Are we not just hanging out together at the bar anymore?
Right.
So it was that, you know, very awkward, that first conversation about, is this serious? So I do get it. And he's taking
it. Yeah, but they've been so awkward for so long. It's kind of a little over the top.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I would say that actually I've had it be awkward before, but with Carrie, it wasn't awkward. It was just because I accidentally said something that just kind of fell right out of my mouth.
Oh, where did that come from?
We were just out in a museum. I don't even know how it came up.
I don't know either. It just came up. And ever since then, it has been. But that even really wasn't awkward.
Let's move on before the podcast becomes as awkward as they are.
They decide to be adults about it, and they just stay friends. Let's hope that decision ends the weird childlike awkwardness. Around this time, Brunt arrives at Deep Space Nine. He's heard some rumors.
Ferenginar is rife with rumors. They say the Grand Nagus is coming to DS9 to name his successor.
But once the rumors are right.
All right, I just wanted to... It's so funny because it's hard to believe this is Jeffrey Combs.
Yes, I know.
I know.
So it's great that he's here. On, I mean, he's just... I mean, I guess in a different way, he's just as simpering as...
Wei-Yun?
Wei-Yun, yeah.
Yes.
Except Brenda's always been, like, kind of creepy.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen any other episodes with Brent in them, but I could see just from when Rom comes in to tell Quark that he's here, he's like, Brent is here. And they're all like, oh, God.
There's another episode with him that's all focused on him, or one of the main plots is him.
Yeah, yeah, I just haven't seen it.
Being the IRS for Quark.
Yeah, he's the kind of like the tax auditor. I mean, not tax, because the T word, right?
Right.
For their worth.
So maybe repossessor, I don't know.
They actually say his title. I just can't remember what it is.
It's not financial advisor.
He's a liquidator.
Yeah, he's a liquidator. Yeah.
That's his occupation.
Yes.
But it's funny to see him just totally go all out on on Quark here.
Yes.
It's never too early.
Right.
Oh, he was the one wasn't he the one investigating Moogie?
Yes.
Because she was making profit.
Yes. And she had already been known to wear clothes before.
Yeah. And so they were going to get punished. And so he did something. Was he blackmailing them?
I forgot.
He was the bad guy when he showed up before.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's kind of creepy.
He was the Frankie version of Wayu.
Yes.
All right. In the cellar hideout, the three amigos watch as Wayun talks about how the Cardassian Rebellion has been crushed.
And thanks to the heroic efforts of Gul Ravak, Damar was lured to Cardassia to meet with five other traitors. But his co-conspirators were killed before they could begin plotting against the people of Cardassia. And Damar himself was killed while trying to penetrate our defense perimeters in a Zulan Dominion vessel. I'm also...
Police are not looking for us anymore.
Just hours ago, acting on information obtained by our intelligence operatives, our brave troops began a coordinated assault on Damar's terrorist bases. From Adbar Prime to Regulac 4, from Simperia to Quinor 7, our forces eliminated a total of 18 rebel bases. With the rebellion crushed, nothing can impede our march to final victory. Truly, this is a great day for the Dominion.
How could they have compromised our entire organization? We took every precaution. Encrypted every transmission, screened
every...
It
doesn't matter how they did it. It's done.
It's funny because I had the same question and Kira just dismisses me as easily as she does him.
Well, it's that one dude. The one that couldn't keep his mouth shut about everything.
Except
right?
Kira went there to teach him about being cells. So that right. No one person knows all 18 places.
No, she's
right,
talking
but they had
about
that one guy that screwed up all the time.
That she, like, had to wrestle down and put her thumb in his neck and, like, I'm going to show you how much I can hurt you.
Okay.
And then Damar had to kill him.
I don't care if somebody is inept in their job. He's not going to inept himself into more knowledge. If they don't tell him what all 18 cells are, he couldn't know them.
But the other thing is, these bases may have existed before Kira got there.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, except that Damar doesn't seem to think that's possible because he says we took all the precautions.
Right, except they also took the precaution with that one dude, and he still like was a blabbermouth. So
you're saying all 18 bases had a blabbermouth?
I'm thinking that there are probably other blabbermouths.
Well, or they used changelings. We caught this guy. Kill him. Replace him. Oh, look, two more guys. Killed them. Replace them. Oh, no, but she's the only one here, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's got to be other ones. Because there's others that aren't directly assigned to her. Because, like, the Romulan guy who's a founder.
And there were, like, four people on Earth.
Right. So there are other changelings. So it's possible that they did it with changelings.
I think that's a stretch. I think they purposely had Kira say, it doesn't matter how they did it. Just dismiss the whole thing.
I know. Again, they could have said... She could have said, Obviously, they used changelings.
Yes, again, super easy.
Yep.
Just give a throwaway answer.
Right.
Just give the touch of an answer, and then let the fans fill in how they did it.
Instead of actually putting in a line, basically saying, don't think about this too hard.
Yeah. Do not think.
You know what? She could even dismiss it by saying, I don't know how they found it, how they did it. Maybe they had founders. Maybe they had captured Betazoids. I don't know. All that matters is we got to deal with it. But throw out, okay, look, there's things it could have been, but don't
things.
Just say, eh,
it could have been things.
Yes, things.
The thing.
Stupid Roussat.
I didn't do this in trivia just because I didn't want to give away this at the end, but they actually used footage from Valiant, Tears of the Prophets, A Time to Stand, Call to Arms, and Once More Unto the Breach. They used footage from that to show the different Cardassian bases being destroyed.
Oh, wow.
What, they had different Cardassian bases be destroyed in those episodes? Or they just were pictures of
they
Cardassian
just
bases?
The explosion.
They were all places where they attacked a Cardassian or Dominion base and blew it up.
Okay.
So it has Cardassian Dominion architecture of a place blowing up.
Oh, okay. All right, well, it appears that pedicures and bribes are the best way to handle business negotiations.
Would 40 bricks of gold-pressed latinum do the trick?
No, but 70 would.
50.
60.
Done. If you'll sign this.
What is it?
A receipt.
For a bribe?
Well, surely you're aware of the new regulation making all bribes tax deductible.
Wait. Did you just use the T word?
You mean tax?
Shh. Are you telling me that T's on Ferenginar?
You haven't been keeping up with the latest reforms, have you? Zach instituted progressive income tax 3 months ago.
You call that a reform? Taxes go against the very spirit of free enterprise. That's why they call it free.
The government needed revenues to fund the new social programs. Wage subsidies for the poor, retirement benefits for the aged, health care for...
Stop. I had no idea things had gotten so bad. This is all Moogie's fault. He's been polluting Zek's mind with notions of equality and compassion. Whatever happened to survival of the fittest? Whatever happened to the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor? Whatever happened to pure, unadulterated greed?
Well, things change.
And they're going to change back. The first thing I'm going to do is eliminate these so-called reforms before Ferenginar ends up looking like a Federation planet.
Ooh, I'm not sure the Congress of Economic Advisors will approve.
I don't care who they are or what they are. As Negus, I can do what I want.
Not anymore. All regulations proposed by the Negus have to be ratified by the Congress before they become law. Well, you'd still be a powerful man. I wouldn't be sucking up to you otherwise.
Blessed Exchequer, forgive us. Your children have gone astray.
I thought this was a pretty funny scene because poor Quark, all he wants is for Ferengi to be the same place.
Yes.
And now he realizes, oh, it has changed and not in a good way.
So to pull us away from that, hey, Mike.
Yes.
He actually says there is a communication coming in from Ferenginar. It's the Grand Negus. And then they push him away. He doesn't say it's for the guy who comes in to talk to Quark. He doesn't say it's for Quark. All he says is there's an incoming communication from Ferenginar. It's the Grand Negus.
Right. Oh, yeah. They were too busy lobbying for their...
Right.
I hate to call it a raise, but...
But he's talking to Quark, right?
Right, but all he says
just saying
is...
saying it in general.
He just says there's a communication coming in. It's from Ferenginar and it's the Grand Negus.
Right.
Quark assumes it's for him.
Right.
He's telling Quark.
Right, because it's coming into Quark's bar.
No, it isn't. He had to transfer it there. If it came into Quark's bar, he would answer it. He tells him to send it to his back room.
Right. That's like when this transmission comes in the Enterprise, he says, I'll take it in my ready room.
Right. But when transmissions come into the Enterprise, if they're calling for someone in 10 forward, it doesn't go into 10 forward. It comes in through main communications, and then it's transferred there.
Hey, can we talk about how awesome this is that it has Ferengi all over it?
What has Ferengi all over it?
This episode. Well, you've got to love this, Mike.
Nah, yeah, I really do. As you can clearly see already.
But look, they're the kindler, gentler Ferengi.
Kindler?
Kindler. Because they're littler.
Yeah. By the way, that I'm fairly certain that that Ferengi that gives that that tells him that the call's coming in, and the woman who's standing with Rom's wife, I think that's the only time they get, they very rarely get to talk. They're mostly just standing in the background. They like have been there all along, but they're actually background characters,
right?
Which is also probably the reason why they had to tell Quark so that the guy could get a speaking line. Because I don't think I think this is his last episode. I don't think either of them shows up again.
Right.
Oh man.
Actually, there's a lot of characters that don't show up after this episode.
There's only one left. Like
two more episodes after this.
Right. Like Rom, Lita, Zek. You know, all of them.
Well, I mean, I don't want to watch Zek on Ryza with Moogie. Like, ew.
No thanks.
Hey, they would be Muzek.
I hate when they do that in the news.
But that's a good one. You have to
yes, admit. That is a good one.
That is a very good one.
It's especially bad when they get in an elevator.
Yes.
Speaking of elevators, let's move ahead.
All right. Mira comes down to tell Damar that he is the current hot topic on the street.
Actually, they don't really believe you are dead. Oh, you should hear the stories. Damar's alive. My cousin saw him on Kelvis Prime. He faked his own death. He is plotting a new offensive from his secret mountain hideaway.
You never told me you had a secret mountain hideaway.
I was going to surprise you.
I love
that he has a sense of humor still.
Yes. Is now Elvis.
Yes.
Yes. He was at the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's right. I saw him at a gas station.
All right. Kira suggests that they bring Damar out of hiding to rally the people and start a real revolution, as opposed to what they'd been doing.
It was guerrilla warfare. Now it's a revolution because now they want to get everybody involved.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough nut to crack, though. All right, checking in with the Dominion, we find that the Founder has decided to enact a different plan.
Allow me to present Legate Broca, the new leader of the Cardassian Union.
I serve the Founders in all things.
Your service is noted.
Thought Prawn, I look forward to working with you. And the Breen Confederacy.
Your first task will be to make a formal address to the Cardassian people, assuring them that the Dominion has their best interest.
That can wait.
But it can wait.
Now that the rebellion has been crushed, it is time to turn our attention to strategic matters. The enemy has devised a countermeasure to our energy-dampening weapons. Therefore, we must alter our tactics. We are falling back. No. I don't mean surrender.
Perish the thought. The Dominion has never surrendered in battle since its founding 10,000 years ago.
I am ordering our troops to retreat to Cardassian space. We will establish a new line of defense along this perimeter. With less territory to defend, we can concentrate our troops and hold off any attack if the enemy attacks at all.
Federation is, by its very nature, timid. When they see we've pulled back, their first impulse will be to leave us alone. But what about the Klingons and the Romulans and the... I meant no disrespect. I was simply asking a question. Without the Federation, the others are no threat to us.
Once the new perimeter is established, we will redouble our shipbuilding efforts and increase production of Jem'Hadar troops. Retreat may prolong the war, but in the end, we will emerge stronger and in a far better position to take the Alpha Quadrant once and for all.
I love how this is like, no, we're not falling back. We're just strengthening our position.
Right.
But really, I think it's just they're afraid now that they have this. Because the Breen were their big secret weapon that they brought in.
Right.
And now the Federation and all of their alliance has a way to stop that. So now they're afraid they actually might lose this war. And so that's why I think they want to pull back and just kind of hide away until they can, well, until they can Zerg this war.
Right. Produce so many that it's just overwhelming forces.
Right.
Well, I mean, it is a logical strategy. They had this weapon that they couldn't defend against, and only a third of, you know, one third of the enemy forces could do anything about it. Push, right. push until it's done. And they're like, okay, stop. All right, draw a line here. We're going to have to figure out exactly what's ahead and where we're going to move. You know, it's like when you're playing the Terrans, speaking of Zerg, it's like when you're playing the Terrans and you get to a point, you're like, okay, now build a bunch of towers.
Right.
We don't know what the Zerg have over that hill. Defend this base.
But I like that the Breen were like so sassy and said, surrender.
Right.
They equated pulling back to surrender.
Okay.
Right.
Let's be fair. The Breen didn't say anything.
I like how there was pride sassiness from the Breen.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
I still hate that there is that they just can't let them talk.
Yes.
We know that everybody can understand them. Why not let the audience?
Exactly.
Everyone else in the room can.
Which means your translators work.
Or you all understand it. Either way, you all understand it. Let us.
Right. Yeah, I would actually like to see the reasoning why they decided to not make the Breen talk at all.
Right.
It had to be someone's idea. Oh, this would be cool. Let's do this. And someone should have smacked them.
They're the unknown quantity.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that Broca, the guy that they brought in.
Yes, Leggett.
Yes, the new Leggett, or, you know, president of the entire Cardassian Union.
Yes.
He's been on Broadway, and in The Lion King, he has played Mufasa.
Oh, nice.
Give me Mufasa. Man, I would like to hear him sing.
Yeah.
They sell tickets.
Yeah. All right, well, Quark laments about the decline of the Ferengi greed-based civilization, then sells his bar to Rom without even haggling.
You can't even dump industrial waste anymore because it might harm the natural habitat. I'm supposed to start worrying about animals now. Look how they live, wallowing in dirt, sleeping in trees. That's not natural.
I suppose you could argue that Ferenginar's biodiversity is a precious resource that belongs to everyone. So what are you going to do with the bar?
Loved it. Loved it, even as yes. Mike hated it. That was
well, great. I did like his statement. Look at how they live, wallowing in mud. That's just not natural.
Yeah, right. Nature is not natural. That's why I chose that one and neither of the other two.
Right.
No, I get that. You know, being in nature is not my favorite part of camping.
Right.
Well, anyway, he also decides that there is something he can do about it.
I've been infected, too. I haven't raised prices in months. I've even been considering letting the Davo girls keep most of their tips. I've gone soft.
I kind of like you better this way.
I don't. And I'm going to do something about it. This disease has got to be stopped before it destroys everything Ferenginar stands for. If Shep wants me to be Nagus, he's going to have to let me do things my way. Or else, I'll turn down the job.
Quark goes honorable.
Quark goes full-on Ferengi, hardcore.
Quark goes, you let me do what I want or I'm taking my ball and leaving.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so he goes Cartman.
Yes.
Respect my authority.
On Cardassia, the three remaining rebels go to bomb some Dominion barracks and make sure everyone knows Damar is untouchable.
Citizens of Cardassia, hear me! The Dominion told you that the rebellion has been crushed. What you have seen here today proves that that is yet another lie. Our fight for freedom continues, but but it will take place here in the streets. I call on Cardassians everywhere to rise up. Rise up and join me. I need you to be my army. If we stand together, nothing can oppose us. Freedom is ours for the taking.
You know, I think Cardassians have an odd view of what freedom means. Given their previous governments.
Yes.
Well, even their previous... I think actually that says a lot. Considering their previous governments, that now looks like freedom.
Yeah. But don't forget, Damar is different. You know,
yes, that's true.
Yes. He changed.
Yeah, he killed Rasat.
Yep.
That was the old Cardassia.
Right. He wants the new Cardassia.
So you're saying he's the Rom of Cardassia?
Gentler Cardassia.
Yes, he is.
All right, so can we just skip this whole Bashir Ezri thing now, please?
No. No, because actually we're coming up to actually one of the things that I actually thought was totally hilarious in this episode.
Well, hold on, because I love that this is a one-second clip.
I guess they worked it out.
Okay, so I love the fact that they get together, they're awkward again, kind of, but they're trying to like, oh, we're so much better now. Then they finally kiss.
We're so mature.
Right.
Look at us, being all grown up.
Right. And well, hello, he's just a big child, and she's confused.
Yeah. Worf nailed it.
Yep. And I love that they start kissing, the elevator comes up out of the floor, they're making out, everyone turns and looks. O'Brien says, I guess they worked it out. And Worf just reaches over and hits a button. The elevator goes back down.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite parts of the whole show. He just like glares at him and is like, boop. Sorry, I found
okay, that. Well, thanks, Worf, for sending the makeout session out of the bridge. Let's go to something almost as weird. The Grand Negus handing over the office to his successor.
Out of the way, Quark. Congratulations, Rom. You're going to make a fine Negus.
And why?
A new Ferenginar needs a new kind of Negus. A kinder, gentler Negus. And that's you, my boy. It's a great responsibility to stand at the bow of the Ferengi ship of state. A Negus has to navigate the waters of the great material continuum. Avoid the shoals of bankruptcy and seek the strong winds of prosperity.
This is great. I almost think he was talking about Dungeons and Dragons because, you know, he was like, navigate the waters of the prime material plane. Yeah. Avoid the shoals of bankruptcy.
I like that speech, though.
Yeah.
Very clearly, because it's in here.
Well, in reaction to that, Quark decides that he has had enough.
The Ferenginar that I knew doesn't exist anymore. No, I take that back. It will exist right here in this bar. This establishment will be the last outpost of what made Ferenginar great. The unrelenting lust for profit. Broik, what are the drinks? Impella, rig the Davo table. Rom, I want to buy back the bar.
And of course, Rom, being what he is, says, you can just have it.
Yeah. And but you know what? That money I paid you already, keep that too.
Yes.
But you know what I love about it is even though he's on a rant, when Rom does that, he says, you're an idiot, but I love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the forehead.
Yes.
Because he knows full well that's exactly what Rom's going to do.
Right.
Yep.
Now, this, as much as I was defending the guy who went to him and why he should have gone to Quark, when Quark gets on the message and the Grand Negus says, is that you, Erzm?
Right.
That is no way going to translate by anyone's standards into Quark. It started with an R. There was a second of static, and then mm. How the heck did you think he said Quark?
Right.
Because he wanted to be Negus.
Right.
Well, but he didn't know why he was calling in the first place.
Right. But doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it was clearly for him.
Right.
Okay, so I've got a question. One. Where is Ferenginar in this whole war? Good. You know, they had some pretty big ships, right?
They may have been neutral because they actually, because of Quark, I think they actually had some trade alliances with the Dominion.
But that was through the wormhole.
Right. So they may have stayed out because technically they had an alliance with the Dominion, even if it wasn't a war alliance. And the Dominion would have let it stand, being like, okay, you don't do anything. We're all good.
Yeah, that sounds logical.
Yeah.
Because the Ferengi aren't warriors, and to the Dominion, that's a whole load of resources we don't want being distributed for cheap.
Yeah.
Because
so they kind of just left the Ferengi alone?
They just left the Ferengi. I think they probably just left the Ferengi to gouge everyone.
Yep.
Because as long as they're gouging everyone, it's resources that nobody really can afford. Or if you can afford them, it's taken away from something else. So it's best to leave the Ferengi to just gouge.
Although I think it's kind of weird that the Grand Negus is going to Ryza in the Federation when it's still, at this point, not clear Ryza's who's
not
winning.
Ryza's not a member of the Federation. Ryza's actually a member of an alliance of, like, pleasure planets.
What?
What?
There's a pleasure alliance?
There's an app for that.
Well, no, actually, I think it was a Federation planet. But it is a pleasure planet.
Well, yes.
Look it up. It is, totally.
But, no, we know it's a pleasure planet. You just were shocked that there was an entire pleasure alliance.
Sorry, I jumped to a completely different universe.
Oh, okay.
I did, actually. In my head, I'm like, no, it's part of the pleasure alliance. I'm like, no.
No,
that's the Palladium space game. Hold
this
on.
This is Sabin's headcanon.
No, it's the Palladium space game. In the Palladium space game, there's an alliance of the planets.
Ben's headcanon.
Okay. Yeah. Wonder what that alliance is called.
Yeah, let's not even start thinking about it.
Oh, I could come up with things,
but I think I'd be edited.
It's called Happy.
I think it's
the Holistic Alliance of Pleasure Planets.
Yes.
Yo.
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 I think it's the Jamaharan Confederation.
It could be the Holistic Association of Pleasure Planets Incorporated. HAPPI.
Happy. Yeah.
Nice.
Get happy.
No, oh, it needs to be HIPPI.
Hippie.
No. Because you can't spell alliance with an I.
But you can spell, dang, the word just went right out of my head.
Murder with an M.
Holistic Industries.
The Holistic Industry of Pleasure Planets Incorporated.
Yep. Hippy.
All right. We got it solved.
Founded by the guy with the loot.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Let's not even bring them into it.
All right. You know, their symbol is the Haragan.
No. Stop.
All right. You know, since we've brought that up, I did want to tell you guys that there's a show on Nickelodeon now called Henry Danger. It's about a superhero and his sidekick. And in one episode, there was this gang of street thugs that were tagging walls, you know, spray painting and stuff. And the street thugs called anyone that wasn't cool Herberts.
Wow.
Hey.
Well, now we know where that movement came from.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. The Federation War Planning Party is meeting about the latest developments of the Dominion falling back.
The wiser course would be to simply contain them within their perimeter.
That's what they're hoping we'll do, to give them time to rebuild their forces.
He's right. We have them on the defensive. We should hit them with everything we've got. Breaking through that line would be a very ugly, very bloody job.
If we do nothing, the Dominion could sit behind that perimeter for the next 5 years, rearming themselves. And when they're ready to come out, God helps all.
So they make the big decision to press the attack, and Sisko returns to his quarters to see his wife.
You're up late. You waiting for me? What's wrong?
I'm pregnant.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Oh, baby, I didn't mean a baby. You and me. Wow.
Surprise.
Surprise is right. How did you...
One of us forgot our injection last month.
Julian reminded me of that. It's just that the way things have been going
on... You don't have to apologize.
I'm not. Are you kidding? This is wonderful.
I'm glad you think so.
But you don't.
I just keep thinking about the prophets. They warned you that marrying me would bring you sorrow.
Cassidy, we have been through this.
I know we have. And I know that we said we wouldn't let the prophets run our lives, but that was before this. What if they were trying to tell you something? There's something they haven't told me.
Nothing is going to happen to our baby.
Are you sure?
I am the emissary of the prophets, and I know that nothing is going to happen. Everything is going to be all right.
I hope you're right.
So I think her fears, one, are very real, and I like the fact that they're, you know, it's something big and she's addressing it. It's not like she was like, oh, blah, it's just that weird religion. You know, she is afraid. She is like, well, maybe the prophets were trying to tell you something. Now what's going to happen?
My problem with it was, are you sure?
Okay. Yeah.
We're pretty sure nowadays, you know, in the future, you could do it with your smartphone tricorder.
Yes.
Yes. It's at 128 cells now.
Look at the double pluses on my tricorder.
The problem is now it's dropped into sitcom trope.
Right.
The stupid dad reaction.
Well, I mean, he did come from this big old meeting where they're planning on pressing the attack and possibly being in a really messy, big casualty type of situation.
Right. And I could see that, like, really? It's really sort of a more happy version of, seriously.
You know, one thing I want to talk about is Federation birth control.
Yeah, he got an injection?
No, apparently they both have to have injections for this to work.
Right.
Like, what?
Hey, I'm all over shared responsibility.
No, but meaning one of them forgot their injections, and then all of a sudden she's pregnant.
It's like some kind of magical two-part injection that
right.
you have to get that cancels each other out.
It's Centauri poison birth control.
So it seems like, you know, to me, I'd want it, you know, to work on both sides so that if somebody did forget, then you don't have to worry, you know.
One or the other.
Yeah.
To me, well...
Okay, here's the only thing I could see as a way out of it is when she says somebody forgot to get their injection, she could have been saying it, you know, somebody forgot to get their injection last month. Not like her, that he is the one that got the injections and he forgot.
You know what? Yeah. You know what it could be, which also would kind of fit why it's so surprising to them, is she says, well, somebody forgot to get their birth control, saying, I didn't get mine. And he's saying, oh, Bashir reminded me I should get mine, but I was so busy I didn't. So both of them forgot,
apologize.
Right, because he's saying, I'm sorry I didn't get mine and now you're pregnant. And she's saying, don't apologize, I'm happy I'm pregnant.
Right.
So maybe basically they're both admitting that somehow they both forgot at exactly the same time and now they have a kid.
Hey, and maybe that's what Maybe that's what the prophets were saying was going to bring them misery. Well, congratulations. Now you're never going to sleep again. You have a kid. I tried to warn you.
I mean, there's enough vagueness in the actual statements that they could both basically be admitting we forgot. She's saying I forgot, and he's saying, ah, he reminded me, and I got so distracted.
Right.
So maybe it's not a two-part thing. Maybe it's just that either of them had to, but neither of them did.
Right. That I like possible. It better with my having it be snarky than just saying somebody forgot to get their snot last month. I'm not saying it's you, but you're the only one that did it.
But it's you.
Yeah, it's funny if that's the way it is, but I mean, as far as I know, isn't like female birth control like much older than male birth control like something you can take? I mean, isn't that like injection?
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying
male birth control is like an injection.
Right, but what I'm saying is I don't see her just not taking it. Why? If that was really a concern.
Well, unless she was out on like a ship or something and missed it or couldn't replicate it or whatever. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think we need to spend too much time on it.
No. I think we spend
the end time. Result is there's a baby coming.
Yes. And they've agreed to attack while the attacking's good.
Attack anyway, even attack, though it might not be that great.
Attack before the attacking's really bad.
Yes. Yeah.
I think what they agreed to.
Yes.
Attack before it gets worse.
Yes.
Okay, so episode name meaning.
They've just cried havoc and let loose the dogs of war at the end.
Well, they're thinking about doing it. They decided that they were going to.
Damar has.
No, they decided they were going to attack the Federation. The Federation decided they were going to attack. So they're also letting loose the dogs of war. Klingons are going to attack.
Yep.
The Klingons are going to attack. And I think even the Romulan guy agrees at the end. He's like,
no,
yeah.
the Alliance agreed as a whole that they were going to move forward. So all of them will.
And Damar got his you know, common folk on the offensive. I mean, by the end of this, the whole war has just gone up a notch.
And Cassidy's body is going to be attacked by an invading force as well in the next 9 months.
I just don't think they should have called it this without, you know, having that song.
Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah.
I think that's sad that I knew where you were going with that.
Oh, man, I did not.
I do think that's sad. I was like, that's not a song. That's from Shakespeare.
That's almost as bad as the, hey, have you heard?
That bird is the word?
That's right.
That's also sad that I know that, too.
Yeah,
and I knew you were going with that.
Got it.
Yeah, well, that one isn't a Star Trek episode name.
Bird? No, probably not.
All right, so we got that one down. German episode name. She's pregnant.
Everything goes downhill.
He's really calling Rom.
Okay, let me find out who picked this.
Nobody picked it.
Nobody picked it. Rotation. It's the arc.
Yes, oh, yeah. Episode rotation.
Okay, so Mike.
Come on, Mike.
That's right. It goes in reverse order.
I liked the Cardassian side of this. And I liked the little bits of the Alliance talking about what to do. Some of the Quark stuff was cool.
Whoa!
I was not expecting to hear that out of your mouth.
I didn't say Ferengi stuff was cool. I said Quark. I have stated before that I like Quark.
Where Quark is a Ferengi? Let's just, you know, put that in there for...
Really, Carrie? Is the science officer going to imply that because I like one person, it means I like the race?
No. No, but I just want to put in there that yes, there is a Ferengi a you like.
Yes.
We just want to point out that you're racist.
I did not imply that in what I said.
No, that's what Mike implied.
That I hate Ferengi?
Just because I like one of them means I like their whole race.
That's right.
Captain Chris, you are in fact quite incorrect. He is not racist. He is speciist.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Dislike Ferengis no matter what their lobe size.
That's right. I'm going to give this a solid 5.
5 is average.
Oh, 6 solid. Sorry. It's a strong episode. It's slightly above average. Because I like how everyone assumes that they were lying about Damar being dead, and they were actually lying about him being dead.
Unknowingly.
Yes.
I like that they thought they killed him without actually checking for a body or anything.
Well, that's hard to do when you blow up a spaceship.
That was totally Wayoon. Of course, he's dead.
Yes, right.
You know he said that with his forehead on the floor.
Yep. But yeah, I think it had enough good stuff in it to qualify as a solid. I did not enjoy the Bashir Ezri crap at all.
Wow. I'm going to give it a 6.5. Unlike Mike, I really did like the Ferengi stuff because it's interesting to see how society can change over time with the influence of certain individuals, Moogie, aka. And I also really, really like that Damar has really come into, because we've watched him in this arc going from this drunkard Dominion butt kisser.
Yes.
To leading a full-on Cardassian rebellion against the Founders. And I really like that a lot because it's such good character growth.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And so I want to give it a 7, but the Ezri Bashir thing, it seems like it was just kind of tacked on to give us a little bit of extra stuff that really didn't need to be there. Maybe some comic relief. And they could have just left that with the Ferengi side story.
Yeah, that's true.
So that brings it down from a 7 for me to a 6.5.
I approve of the Bashir Ezri thing bringing it down.
Yeah.
I'm going to tack on to Carrie's here. The whole Damar arc is really fabulous. And one of the reasons I say that is I do like history. And one of the I think they teach it wrong here in America, at least, you know, where it's just what happened on this date and what happened on this date. To me, it's the process. It's the how things change. And Damar is a perfect example of that, where Damar went from, I mean, earlier on in Deep Space Nine, he was
Dukat.
Dukat's sidekick. But, I mean, he was equally ruthless. And then he was the lackey that was the drunkard. You know, he wasn't drunk before. He's not alcoholic, right? But he fell into this stupor.
Yes.
And then he started coming out of it, and he started fighting against the Dominion. I mean, it's just a fascinating character that I think is really reflective of the things that can happen to people that change them. And so, I mean, I just love the whole Damar arc, and it's certainly one of the shining points within this Deep Space Nine final arc. Contrary to most of you, I do like the Ezri and the Bashir thing. The elevator scene was fantastic.
Only because Worf ended it.
Yeah.
I like the Ferengi stuff. Now, the Ferengi stuff, it seems like we don't hear too much about that in this entire season, but we do hear about, you know, the kind of the softening of Ferengi to some extent earlier on with some of the Moogie episodes. So we do kind of see it coming. It's not just totally blindsided. I'm not sure why they decide to give it to Rom, other than he's just going to retire. But I like it.
Because they want somebody that is willing to, like, kind of be just kind of a figurehead.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because this episode is where they're kind of wrapping up a lot of things here in preparation for the next episode. And overall, I think they get it done. You know, they set up with Cardassia and the Revolution. They have that all set up. Because when you get here to the end of this episode, I'm like, how on earth are they going to complete this in a final, you know, granted it's an hour and a half episode, but how are they going to complete this whole war in an hour and a half?
And we haven't even seen Dukat and Kai Winn for like a really long time.
Yes.
Because he's blind on the street begging.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the whole entire episode is just going to be a giant space battle, but then I remembered Dukat.
Yes. Well, and you got the whole Cardassian ground thing. So there's a heck of a lot to be taken care of. And I've got to say, when I was first watching this as it was on, when it was first being broadcast, I'm like, this is going to have a horrible ending because I don't see how they could finish this off.
Right.
But we'll leave that for next episode. The fact is, I really enjoyed this episode. I think they did things, a lot of things, getting things set up. So I'm going to give it a 7. Excellent. Ben?
I actually am going to give it an 8.
All right.
I really liked it. I liked the Ferengi stuff. I liked that you kind of, you basically get this point where for the Ferengi, you're going to have these two champions. Rom is championing the new Franginar. Rom's never really been a good Ferengi. He's always been the nice guy.
Yep.
And then you have Quark, who's basically at this point said, no, this is my stand. This is my bar. I am going to be a holdout for old Franginar. And you can really see that, you know, I could see Quark rallying those old school Ferengi around him. And so you end up with this story for the Ferengi going forward of these two brothers that represent the two faces of Franginar. I like the idea of that. I like, you know, the fact that, you know, again, the Federation's having to be like, you know, look, we could go and we could create a neutral zone like we did with everybody else. But look where that got all of us. You know, we can't just let this go. We have to push forward. We can't just be happy with the peace like we have been in the past. We have to be aggressive here. I actually like the end of this weirdness with Bashir and Ezri. I like that it's finally busted over. You know, it's like a fever passing kind of thing. I really like it. I really think it's a good, unlike previous episodes, this feels like a good break. Like a lot of times in the past episodes for this arc, we've been like, it feels like nothing got done. I don't know why I'm here. What's going on? I feel like this is a good break where I'm not irritated with what's past. I'm actually excited to see what's coming at. I give it an 8.
You know, it's funny. I could see the fever break thing working as well from my point of view, as in, like, thank God it's finally over.
No, I think you're more like, thank God the blister is finally broken.
What was that?
Unknown.
For 100 Quatloos.
This is a test of some kind, isn't it?
Wager. 100 Quatloos. 400 Quatloos. 200 Quatloos against.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another round of Technologic Trivia.
All right.
Yay.
Hey. Maybe we should go ahead and say what our overall score is, because I didn't hear that.
Oh, our average score is a 7. 7 exceptional.
Okay. So, hey, Ben has 182 Quatloos.
Nice.
Mike has 688.
Woo!
And Chris has 741.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Ben, you get the first question. Are you excited?
Yay!
There you
Yay.
Go.
Yay! How long is a standard day on Deep Space Nine?
Steal.
Shut up, Chris. You can't steal.
24 hours.
No, I'm sorry. Is it A, 26 hours, B, 28 hours, C, 32 hours, or D, 34 hours?
B.
No, I'm sorry. It was 26 hours.
Yes.
Dang it! I was going to say that.
Which is why when they have their Kiefer Sutherland series, it's going to be 26.
You know, I was actually going to say that. I'm like, it's probably not that far off from, because it has to be just far enough to be inconvenient, but not affect anything.
That's not inconvenient. I love a 26-hour day.
Yeah, that extra 2 hours is for siesta.
Yeah, only if it can be non-productive time.
That's
if
right.
If it's required to become productive, I am not doing it. Mike.
Yes.
If you don't get this, I'm going to hate you.
Oh, man. Wait, like more?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What is the acronym for the computer operating system used aboard Federation ships and starbases?
Come on.
Oh, my God, Mike. I'm going to go beat my head in the wall, okay?
It's the thing with all the colored lines around it, you know?
What's
L-cars.
L-cars.
I just had to think about it. All right.
All right, Chris.
Yes.
Oh, that's really close to this other one. What happened if a person stayed in the matter stream too long?
Wait, a matter stream? Isn't that just a stream of water?
Yes, it is, but they're talking about a specific matter stream, and you know which one they mean.
Yes. Don't play dumb.
What? I don't know which one they mean. There's lots of matter streams.
Transporter beam.
Hey, no helping.
Yeah, I can't believe you helped Chris. All Chris wants to do is steal.
Their pattern degrades.
Yay! Wow.
Mike feels guilty because he got two Quatlus. He figures it has to be a mistake.
You should have helped me.
That implies that there's help.
Yeah, I couldn't help you. Because 26 hours seems dumb to me.
All right, Ben. How could it be determined if someone was being impersonated by a changeling?
Blood test. Felt sorry for me.
It did. It felt terrible for you.
I was going to say you stabbed them, but...
You stabbed them?
And if, you know, if they heal, then they're a changeling.
All right, Mike.
Or you could tell them to take off their clothes.
And if they can't?
Yes, then they're a changeling.
If they can't, then they're an idiot.
If they can't, they're Tobias Fuque.
Oh.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What fictional detective does Data admire?
Oh, Sherlock Holmes.
Dang it. Why wasn't that the quadrically double?
It's totally Sherlock Holmes.
I know.
Okay.
You get the two colors. I mean, it really did mark it wrong. I clicked the Sherlock Holmes button.
What the heck?
Book equals wrong.
What does the book think it was?
Hercule Poirot?
What?
I totally mispronounced, and I know
Urkel,
I did.
I think she said.
Urkel.
Okay, Urkel? I've seen that show, and I don't recall that ever coming up on the series. I've seen the show that it's talking about. It's like a French version of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Essentially. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Who killed Worf's mate, Kalar?
Oh, man.
Really? Steel?
There's no stealing.
I totally understand steals. I'm okay with that, actually.
No.
But,
I will remove Quatlus for steals.
Let's see.
It would totally be worth it if he doesn't get the Quatlus.
Well, there's still multiple choice, right?
And we reviewed the episode. I just don't remember. All right, Tasha Yar.
Is it A, Gowron, B, Duras, C, Kempek, or D, Lursa?
Duras.
Yep.
You have no right to be here.
Don't you remember?
Was my mate.
Stumbling into Worf's bedroom and him calling for medical and they run down there instead of beaming her, remember?
Yeah. Yes, that we like
that
fussy
so
about like for hours.
Yes.
Still a sticking point. Still the worst thing ever.
You know what I don't understand is when there's a situation like that, why doesn't the person calling just say two to sick bay?
Right.
Two to beam, emergency beam out, two to sick bay.
Well, see, but I can give them a little bit of leeway because that's the person who's frantic and afraid and, you know, has to think on their feet quickly. So I can see them saying, I need help, you know, just hitting their edge.
Yeah, but the other people that are in the to life or death things.
Yes.
Should know better. They should know better.
And honestly, yes, people who've been through Starfleet Academy should be trained enough to handle stressful situations also, so that they could have been organized enough to say two to sick bay. But I can give them a little bit of leeway on that because it's someone they care about.
Also, okay. You know, like if... Sorry.
I was going to say,
what was that?
Fortnightly double or not?
Oh yeah, fortnightly double.
I mean, you could just continue to talk about transporting a sick bay. I'm okay. You don't need a fortnightly double.
Doesn't do okay. Me any good.
Well... What, if you know the answer, write down your response and your wager. Unless only one of you does it, Ben. In which case, wait until everybody else says they're not doing it and then just tell me.
Right.
What caused the warp core to split different decks of Voyager into temporal flux?
Oh, wow.
Dang. I know exactly what episode it's talking about.
I have no clue what episode this is.
I know what episode. Well, I mean, I know what... understand what episode it is, but I don't remember what caused it.
It's probably Kes.
No, let's just blame it all on Neelix. Everything is Neelix's fault because he's the one that brought Kes onto the ship.
That's true.
Pass.
Yep, pass.
Ben?
I'm going to have to pass, even though I wanted to talk about that earlier when we were talking about refilling the crew.
All right. Well, then it becomes a listener question. So, listeners, if you know what caused the warp core to split different decks of Voyager into temporal flux, you can send me a private message on our forums, a direct message on Twitter, or an email to carrie@trekandlogic.com. I forgot the third one there for a second. And you could possibly earn 2 Quatlus. Hey, speaking of Quatlus, let's go ahead and award like a whole giant ton of them.
Awesome.
Okay. So from TNL 170, I asked what Kirk's serial number was. If you answered correctly, you got 2 Quatlus. And answering correctly would be SC-937-0176-CEC.
Yeah, why don't you just ask what his middle name is?
Because that's not what the book asked. Answering correctly were Denitra G, J. Iconis, Matthias, MLV, Sassor, and Thalesa. From TNL 171, also worth 2 Quatlus, I asked you to name at least one of the 2 authors that Spock referred to as the Giants in the movie Star Trek IV. If you said Jacqueline Susson, is that Jacqueline Suzanne?
Yeah, Jacqueline Suzanne.
And or Harold Robbins, you would have gotten 2 Quatlus. Almathea, Bob Shway, Jay from Brazil, Max Simmons, MLV, Sassor, Scarlet Phantom, and Thalesa all were up to that challenge. What did Harold Robbins write?
I'm holding my applause till the end.
Yeah.
What did Harold Robbins write?
What?
What did Harold Robbins write?
Oh, I don't know. Would you like me to find out?
If I knew that, I could answer the question.
Come on, Moogle. I thought for sure you would already know.
Never Love a Stranger, The Dream Merchants, A Stone for Danny Fisher, 79 Park Avenue, The Carpetbaggers.
Oh.
That's a famous one.
Yeah.
Where Love Has Gone.
The other person wrote Valley of the Dolls. That was...
Oh.
Yes. Fame. The Storyteller.
Okay. Now you're getting to ones I know.
Descent from Xanadu.
Oh.
The Piranhas.
Did they involve piranhas eating people?
I don't know.
If they didn't, I'm significantly less impressed. Okay, you can stop. That's enough.
That's enough?
Yeah.
Of what Harold Robbins has written?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to 172. I asked who the leader of the Makos on board the Enterprise was, and plenty of people answered it was Major Hayes, as opposed to Major Hazing, which is totally different. That's how Keiko, or not Keiko, I totally can't remember her name right now.
That's how the Makos greet you.
No, I was going to say that's how,
T'Pol?
No.
Rand? Janice Rand?
What's her face wound up shirtless?
Oh.
They hazed her by making her crawl through tight tunnels.
Yes.
Oh.
That totally did need to happen, but yes, I agree it was hazing. Because they totally did need her to do that. Okay.
So the people who received 2 Quatlus for answering correctly were Cindy, Glimmer Twins fan, Jay from Brazil, Max Simmons, MLV, Mares, Sassor, Thalesa, and yet another Matt. Now, because we had traveled into the future and there was no trivia in 173 or 174, although somebody did send me a trivia response for 173, which was something about Chekhov's blue-footed boobies name?
What?
What?
Yeah.
I think they should get a point.
His blue-footed booby was named Cosmos with a K.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they know that on my little pad I have a blue-footed booby as the background. So yes. I'm like super impressed.
Right.
Yeah. But moving on to...
They have got access to the time travel device.
Yes. Moving on to 175, or they looked at my Facebook page.
Yes.
I have posted there. Moving on to 175, also worth 2 Quatlus. Like, you guys have been really sucky on the...
Yes, we have.
...getting the week fortnightly doubles. So they're all going to our listeners. I asked which of Wesley's classmates from Nova Squadron managed to post on board the USS Enterprise 1701D? And it was... Is that pronounced Cito Jaxa?
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yes.
That's what I would say, too. And if you said Cito Jaxo, you'd be right. So Cindy, Freefaller003, Jay from Brazil, Max Simmons, MLV, Mokhtar Decoy, Maress, Sassor, and Scarlet Phantom all got two more Quatloos.
By the way, Will Wheaton is the one who narrated What If.
Oh, nice. He also narrated Ready Player One, which Chris and the Minions have been listening to.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, I think after we do this trivia update, there may be a whole bunch of people that have 50 Quatloos.
I'll have to compile them and find out.
Like everybody.
In TNL 176. Oh, so
It is really important. So as soon as Mike gets that data out to you, if you have over 50 Quatloos or the 100 Quatloos or whatever it is, please send us in your picks as soon as possible, as we are planning out 2016 and we want to do all of the user picks in the early part of the year. So, and we do a lot of things ahead of time, like gathering audio and that sort of thing. So
right.
It would be really, really useful to us if you can get that to us. So Mike will work on that as fast as his little circuits can go.
That's right.
Hey, and you know what you should have taken away from this, listeners? There's another season of Treknologic coming.
Woo!
I know, right? All right, so moving on to 176, which is the most recent one that I will award for today. Who said, I hope for your sake you are initiating a mating ritual?
Nice.
That was worth two Quatloos because our panel of experts could not answer that.
Okay, to be fair, I just couldn't remember which one it was.
Hey, you could have bet on it.
He could. The technical thing there is he could not answer that question.
Right.
It was one of the Duras sisters. It was Betor from Star Trek Generations. And that was when Soren like smacked her or something and gave her a bloody lip. Answering correctly were Bob Shue, Cindy, D Nitro G, Jay from Brazil, Jay Tolly, Max Simmons, MLV, Mokhtar Decoy, Maress, Sassor, and Scarlet Phantom. Woo!
All right.
Awesome.
All right, everybody. Yay. Good jobs.
Now that we've caught up to the time stream, I can finally do that dump.
Yes.
Data dump.
You know, sometimes on the ship, it looks like if you've been lagging really bad in a game and suddenly everyone starts moving really fast.
Yes. Hey, a shout out to Christian1313 for TreknologicAnalyzer.JustPlainApps.com. Just a few weeks ago, Christian1313 sent me an email saying I had gotten one of the scores wrong on one of our posts. That was correct. I had it right in our document that we broadcast from, but I think I always copy the post from the last episode we did, and I just forgot to update that one part.
Wow, so the analyzer is so accurate now, it's even updating our website corrections.
Yeah.
Obviously, Christian1313 works for Temporal Command.
That's right.
Yeah. It might be Admiral Christian1313, I think. Like, he's the boss. Hey, you get this wrong. But we really, really appreciate it. We don't like our things to be wrong. But we are human. Well, some of them.
Yourself.
Some of you are human.
Actually, none of us.
I think Bill was the only one who was human.
No, Bill was two-dimensional human.
Yeah,
so I don't
Bill
know if
was animated.
It was the closest we got.
Yes.
Are there any humans on the ship?
On ship, yes.
Sure, we have them somewhere.
Yeah, they're the background people. You got to remember, people like us, we're there to help define the human condition.
Right.
Oh, I thought we were there to exemplify diversity.
And that.
I thought we were just better.
I mean, we got...
Well, I mean, don't make the humans feel bad. I mean, that's really sad.
Yeah, I'm the worst one off here. I'm just a trill, so... All right.
Yes, yes, you are.
Thank you for listening. Oh, and you know what? We love feedback. In fact, we read, listen to, and discuss our feedback in the Listening Post podcast. You can give us feedback by giving us a nice iTunes review, by emailing us at feedback@treknologic.com. You can even email us voicemails. You can tweet us at Treknologic. You can find us on Facebook and Google+. And there's a Treknologic forum at treknologic.com. So join our discussions wherever you want and let us know what you think. Hey, Carrie, what are we reviewing next time?
Well, next time we get to investigate those investigating a time crime in TNG's A Matter of Time.
Until then, on behalf of everyone here at Technologic, love long and prosper.
We're going to have a blooper.
I think that's the one.
That baby actually was a blooper.
Yes,
yes, it works on multiple levels. Whatever happened to survival of the fittest? Whatever happened to the rich getting richer and the poor getting bloopers? Whatever happened to pure, unadulterated greed?
As far as I'm concerned, the Ferengar I knew doesn't exist anymore.
No, I take that back. It will exist. Right here in this bar. This establishment will be the last outpost of what made Ferengar great. The unrelenting lust for bloopers! I bet there's a video game based off of it that's terrible.
Off of the logo? I would think so. Video games based off of logos are historically terrible.